Welcome to the Profitable Audience Podcast. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how I recently hit 100K on YouTube. So today I thought it'd be interesting to talk about how to make money on YouTube. Just because you have subs doesn't really mean anything unless you have that channel actually work for you.
Can we talk really quick about what you got in the mail? We didn't talk about this last time, did we?
You know what's funny is I haven't opened the box yet.
Well, I was just going to say, did I miss the unboxing?
No, I've been putting it on my list to film the unboxing video, and I wanted to like film the whole unboxing. So it's sitting on my desk right now, and I haven't even opened it yet.
So you have the patience of no one I've ever met to have received a box like 3 weeks ago. You received this box, I believe.
It is 3 weeks ago. That's correct.
And it is still sitting. It's something that you've really wanted, and yet it's still sitting there unboxed. No, boxed.
Yes,
boxed.
Because I have to film this stupid video.
You can't just reenact it? Like a Dateline episode?
No, but I want to cut off the tape.
Okay,
you know,
and get on it.
It's probably wrapped in like, I don't know, some sort of tissue paper.
Beautiful wrapping, but watch it be like in the Chinese paper.
That is. I know, yeah. Made in China.
Yeah, the yellow tape.
I mean, I literally have it right here.
Yes.
And then Jen like was paranoid that I was going to film the box with
our
address on it.
Yes, stuff. I was just
so
going to.
She like took it and she ripped off like the
yes,
like the address label and everything.
I actually did that one time on accident. I put something on Instagram and like the ad, I had to immediately delete it. I didn't know someone actually brought it to my attention and I deleted it. But it's hard to remember all those little things when you're living your entire life online.
That's true. So I had it on my list last night to do it.
Yes.
But then I can't remember what I was doing. Oh, I remember what I was doing. Quick aside for anyone listening. I bought a Ring doorbell.
Oh, yes.
And it's like, they make it sound so easy to install, but it was a pain in the butt. I had to go out and buy a new transformer.
Really?
And then I had to find out where the existing transformer was. And then once I finally found it, I figured out that the old homeowners didn't do anything to code. It was just like...
See, that's the problem with those things, is once you open it up, it's like Pandora's box of problems.
Yes.
So
anyway, all told, it took me, I had to order stuff and whatnot. Yeah. So I finally got it installed last night.
Yeah. So now you know everybody who's coming to your front door.
I know how doorbells work now, which I, for the longest time, I mean, it doesn't really make sense why it works the way it does. But anyway, okay. I don't want to talk about doorbells.
What's funny is I used to not like, my ex-husband did not want us to have any like technology stuff, except for he did like the Ring, but he didn't want like Nest thermostats or anything like that because, you know, they're all hackable, which I'm like, are we going to get hacked and someone's going to like raise our temperature? You know, ooh, I'm going to make them sleep in 82 degree weather, you know, but now that he doesn't live here, I've gone like the other spectrum because I love like controlling everything in my house. So I got, I have all the Nest thermostats. So like when I'm gone and stuff, I can make sure that the kids aren't putting it at like 72. But then I just got one of those electric front door locks, which I love because I can actually lock the front door from anywhere. So,
that's next on my list.
And side benefit of this, and see, once you start making money on YouTube, you can buy these things, is that I can tell who's coming in and out of the door because each kid has their own code. So I see when, so like, even if I'm just in my office and I hear the front door open, I get a little alert, right? So I can see who's coming in and out of the house. Like when I was out of town for work last week, I could check at night just to make sure the door got locked, and I can lock it remotely. So it's pretty cool features. So anyway,
what I love about that is you don't need to carry keys anymore.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the one that I got does have the emergent, like if the battery dies, there is a key like you. So we do have like a, whatever the master key for it, so you can unlock it. But yes, I'm gonna actually get another one for my garage because it's really been nice. And before, like, no one had a key and no one knew where their key was, and now they all have codes. And so I have cleaners come every other week. I can give them a temporary code, so if I'm not here, they can come in and clean, and I know who came in. And
yep.
Anyway, shout out to, I think it's like, what is it, Schlage? I don't know.
There's every company has one now.
Yeah.
It's dizzying, actually.
Yeah. I like this one just because it connects to your phone, so you can get all the notifications. Anyway, side note, but yes.
Okay, back to YouTube.
Yes, I'm going to start reviewing these on YouTube. That's my YouTube business.
Hey, that's actually not bad. There's a ton of people doing that on YouTube. I've been watching a ton of doorbell videos.
Yeah, I'm sure you're very up to date on all the doorbell technology. So how do you make money on YouTube so you can buy all these cool gadgets?
Yeah, so the simplest way to do it, or the first line of defense, let's just say, is AdSense, obviously, right? You have YouTube put ads on your videos. And I'll be honest with you, I am quite shocked at how much it pays out.
Now, we've talked about this a few times. So you get a decent CPM because of the niche that you're in and the things that you talk about. But I've heard you tell other people, if you're in other niches, you don't make the same kind of money.
Yeah, and it's funny. I'm in a YouTube mastermind right now, and everyone just kind of shares what their CPM is. And most of the people that are in this group are getting like between $2 and $4 CPM. And then it comes around to my turn, and I'm like, huh, that doesn't, because this is the first time I was in this meeting. I was like, that doesn't sound right. Wait, I just double and triple check my numbers. I'm like, there's got to be some mistake. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong number. And so I go out and I say, oh, I'm getting like 80. And they're like, what? 80? And then I was like, well, maybe I'm looking at this wrong. And I shared my screen. They're like, oh my God, I guess the space that you're in just pays out 40x like what everyone else's space does.
Well, I think something to think about, and I don't know if this is true, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it seems to follow a similar pattern as affiliate offers. So if you're in the Your Money, Your Life space for affiliates, banks, credit cards, all sorts of things, they pay out, you know, I think you were talking about, was it one of the e-commerce platforms? You get recurring revenue every month. You can get up to $1,500 for someone to sign up. Whereas if you're in the lifestyle space and you're promoting, you know, something, you're maybe getting $1 to $2 on, you know, someone's menu plans or something like that. So I would say it probably follows in the similar vein as that, where, you know, those ads pay more because there's more money involved in like acquiring a customer.
What's funny about this is, not too long ago, I taught a class in the course about like how to raise that revenue.
Mm-hmm.
But I was only doing this on a couple of videos, which is basically, so if your video is over 8 minutes, you can actually insert as many ads as you want in the video.
Okay.
Otherwise, I think you only have the choice of in the beginning, the end, and like they'll automatically place one spot in the middle.
Okay. So if your video is under 8 minutes, you get a beginning and ending ad and one spot in the middle that they sort of decide.
That they decide, yes.
Once you're over 8 minutes, you can pick as many as you want, but how many subscribers do you need to have, or what's the requirement to get to that point?
You know what? To be honest with you, I don't remember. I think it's 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours to just even be able to put ads on.
Okay. So you have to get to a certain threshold to start doing this.
Yeah. And I would argue that like those first 1,000 subs are probably the hardest ones.
Yeah.
That you'll get, I guess. Anyway, so here's what I just did literally 3 days ago, four days ago. I was only doing this on like on my best couple videos just because I didn't want to like rock the boat and piss people off with too many ads, right? But I was like, screw this. I was talking to someone in the mastermind group and they said, people don't stop watching videos because you have too many ads. People stop watching videos because your video sucks.
Yes, and I'd agree with that.
I was thinking to myself, you know, I'm actually used to YouTube ads now.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's when I get an ad, I just click next or skip ad or whatever, and I just move on and I end up watching the video. So I was like, okay, forget this. I'm just going to do this on all of my videos. So every video now has at least 4 ad spots in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say that. Depending on the length. Some of my videos are like 25 minutes. I have more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Well, the upshot is the ad revenue spiked up like another 25% or so.
Okay.
Just for doing nothing. And I was just looking at the view duration, and the view duration hasn't really changed, which implies that it didn't really have an effect. Granted, 4 days isn't enough time, probably, to determine this, but so far, so good.
So you've added more ads. It hasn't really affected your watch time. Now, one of the things I've always wondered is when you click the skip ad, do you get paid for that, or how does that work? Like when you work the first 5 seconds?
I really don't know. I would imagine you don't get paid because those ads are free for the advertiser, right?
Which I've always thought was interesting as someone – it was funny – my boyfriend was using my phone the other night and he was like opting out of like all the tracking and everything. I was like, stop. I want to be tracked. I want to see everything targeted to me. But I've always thought it was interesting when you get an ad come up on a video, like if you can catch me in the first 2 to 3 seconds with the ad, sometimes I'll watch the ad. Because it's like, and I think that's one of the tricks for an advertiser is like to hook people in those first couple seconds. And sometimes it works. Like there's times when I'll watch an ad because it's just interesting enough to stay on.
Should your kitchen look like this?
Yeah.
Do you need a backsplash?
Well, you know what ads always have always hooked me are like the poopery ads, which are always hilarious. The like Dollar Shave Club, because you know they're going to be funny, right? There's this expectation that you're going to be entertained a little bit. So, but I also agree with you. Like I've never clicked off a video because an ad's come up unless the video was mediocre and I was like, yeah, it's not worth it anymore.
Right. Actually, it gives people a decision point, right? Whether they want to stay on or not. So I guess that's the bad part. Anyway, so my philosophy is like my average view time on a video is about 5 minutes. So I make sure that they watch 3 ads within the first 5 minutes at least. And then the rest of it is okay. Because if they're not going to stay, they're not going to see the rest of the ads.
Right, right. But, now, so when you say you can determine, do you determine exactly where the ads go? Like you want one at 60 seconds?
You can
seconds?
Determine it, but it's up to Google whether they even choose to display an ad during that period.
Okay.
My guess, and this is just conjecture, is that YouTube knows that if you put too many ads, like let's say you put one like every 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. They'll know that that's going to piss people off and they won't show that video because they're yeah. trying to maximize watch time as yeah. well, right?
So, okay, so you've have ads up on your thing. You have 100 plus thousand subscribers. And you, what are you making per month in ads?
Last month, I clocked in at 23K.
Okay, so you and then you shared about how in your mastermind group, some people were like flipping out because you were making, like what is a person not in the your money or life space making, like what would be the equivalent?
If you're doing like a vlog or something like that, that's like mm-hmm. $2.
Okay.
If you're in the finance space, that's like 20 okay. to 40. And you know, just all over the place really, depending on what I think. Like one of the people in the mastermind runs a cooking sort of mm-hmm. blog / channel, and I think they make like between five and ten. So okay. it really just depends.
Okay. One of the things that I was thinking about after we talked about YouTube the last time was for people that don't feel super comfortable on camera, the thing that I find myself watching a lot on YouTube are tutorials of how to do things. In fact, I just watched 3 videos yesterday on a Pinterest feature. And the person came on for like 5 seconds in the beginning, like, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm going to show you how I use XYZ. And then the rest of it was her, like kind of how we run office hours, right? With a presentation, although she was doing a screen share, but basically the same thing. And I wonder how those videos do.
I think those wouldn't do as well as this. Like if you don't want to be on camera, mm-hmm. you can just film yourself going through the actions, mm-hmm. like in the tutorial, and then just do a voiceover.
Yeah.
I find those work really well, and I actually watch those.
Yeah, me too. I watch them all the time. Those are probably outside of like sports highlights and stuff like that. Yeah. Those are the videos usually on your channel. I get all the good ones when I sign into your account. But that's what I find myself most on YouTube when I'm using it as a just straight up consumer is always a tutorial. How do I fix this? How do I do this on my computer? How do I, you know, use something in a tool? I almost always look for that on YouTube.
Yeah. And so that's, I find that most people don't like speaking on camera, but they don't mind kind of being on camera doing stuff.
Interesting. Okay. So ads is the top way. The only problem with ads, and it's the same problem with display advertising on your blog, is you have to have eyeballs. So right. there's a threshold to get in, which there is on a website as well. And then on top of that, people need to be watching your videos.
And so first of all, I want to say that it's not the best way. It's the easiest way. Where you don't have to do any work to actually make some money.
Well, that's the same thing with blogging, right? The display yeah. advertising is the absolute easiest way to make money. I mean, you put the right. ads on your site, you literally never think about them again until someone complains. I know you've done a couple things. Let's talk about something else you've done.
Yeah, so the next thing, which has actually worked surprisingly well, is putting affiliate links in the description.
Okay, I was wondering how well that worked.
It just worked. Here's my problem, though. The links that I'm using right now are the same ones I'm using for my blog.
Okay.
I've just noticed an uplift in the conversions. I can't, unfortunately, give you the exact uplift because what I need to go back and do now is use special links just for YouTube. What's funny is I just put those links in there because what the heck? If yeah. someone just signs up one or two, you know, that's fine. But it's actually significant. And I also put like a link to my email newsletter And now YouTube is number two in terms of email subs.
How many links can you put in a description?
You can put as many as you want, but there's Prime Real Estate at the top of the description, because then it shows up, you know, when you have it open right above. You don't have to click to open the description on a phone.
So I was noticing yesterday when I was watching a couple of these tutorials, for some reason, I never knew you could put affiliate links in your description on YouTube. And I noticed that yesterday when I was watching these tutorials that they all had affiliate links to different, I think it was Pinterest stuff, so it was probably Tailwind. I didn't really pay a ton of attention, but I thought that was interesting. And I wonder like how those do, but I guess they do pretty well, though you're not specifically tracking that right now.
So one thing that a lot of people are doing that's popular is, and I only know this because I follow a lot of YouTubers, like YouTubers who teach YouTube YouTube.
Yeah.
What they do, everyone always asks them about gear. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they have an Amazon store influencer store page. And so they just click on the link and all their gear is nicely displayed on a page and people just buy everything in a bundle.
Yeah. That's genius, right? It's the same thing with like how to start a podcast, have everything linked there as well.
Yeah. And you would think that it doesn't make that much money, but like the equipment's kind of expensive, right? So if you end up with a camera and a lighting and all that stuff, I mean, you might be spending a couple $1,000s. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's not a bad payout whenever you sell one of those things. Could be like $80 to $100.
It's like what we always talk about with especially affiliate links where you're getting cookied. So maybe they click over and buy the ring light, which is $149 or however much it costs right now. But then they also buy, you know, a playground for their kids. You're still getting credit for that, even though you didn't link to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but Amazon aside, like whenever I do like a review of a shopping cart or some business tool, those pay out actually a lot. Actually, the last video that I just did on dropshipping suppliers.
I need to watch that one actually. It was on my list.
One of the suppliers that I just talked about, I just included an affiliate link. And I think I got like, I just posted it yesterday. I got 5 signups for one of them.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's going to make any money, but you know, it works.
So the one thing you're not doing, which you should be doing and people should be doing, is creating a separate link for that.
Yes. It's just tedious work, which is why I haven't done it yet.
You know, when the money's just rolling in, you know, who cares where it's coming from?
You know, here's what I always ask myself. I was like, okay, well, let's say I separate all this stuff out and I track everything. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do different with this data?
Make 50 YouTube videos a week.
Well, you know what I'm saying, though? Like,
yeah.
Well, what's going to change? Because what am I going to do differently as a result of this data?
I mean, so that would be tempting for me if I found out that, like, oh, my YouTube's driving the majority of my revenue. I would all of a sudden completely up my YouTube. But
well, I mean, YouTube's already a big deal for course sales and everything for me. Yeah. So technically, I should be doing that. The limiting reactant is making the videos, really.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
So this is the other question about affiliate links, which is what I immediately thought about when you were talking about these influencers and obviously an Amazon store page. When you link to, let's just say you link to this dropshipper, did you just link directly out to the dropshipper or did you link to a page on My Wife Quit and then
like a pretty link.
Okay.
Yeah.
But where are they going? To the affiliate or to your site first?
They go to my site, then they're redirected to the... I don't have, it goes directly. It goes to a link on my site and then redirected to the affiliate. Is that what you're asking?
Well, what I'm thinking, like what this is coming from is, so I'm getting people from YouTube, right? And this is a different audience than is on my website. So do I want to create like a special landing page on my website where these people hit?
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't think you want to do that.
Okay. Well, because like Amazon, you have to let them know that your link is on a YouTube property, right? You can't just put an Amazon link anywhere. You have to let them know where it lives.
Actually, if you put a storefront page, I believe you can do that without telling them.
With a storefront, but not to a specific... You can't link to a specific product unless
YouTube... Correct,
yes. Just like you can't put it on Facebook. Everyone's like, you can't put Amazon links on Facebook. Well, you can if your Facebook property is listed as one of your properties, which I think people get... weird about that. You know, you can't put it in an email, obviously. But so then to piggyback off that, when you get people to sign up for your course, your mini course from YouTube, because that's another way that you're using the links, which is obviously a way to make money. Do they get a special landing page?
Right now they don't.
Should they?
I can track all that stuff in analytics because it's my page.
Right.
I can't track the affiliate stuff because I don't own that property where I'm guiding them to. Actually, technically, since they're going through a pretty link, I can probably track it. I just haven't tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay.
So you just want to make sure, like in the video, you say, hey, you know, if you guys are interested in this, you know, link is in the description.
Do you always point?
I do, actually. I started doing it. There's a lot of things I just started doing in the last couple of weeks, actually. So like on the end screen, before I used to have like five options. Mm-hmm. Now I purposely record an end screen that says, hey, you've enjoyed this video on dropshipping. Make sure you watch this one where I go through everything step by step. And then I point and then I put the exact video I want to guide them to.
So it's, yeah, I've noticed, I've been watching YouTube videos. I mean, I've been watching YouTube videos forever, but in the last like 6 weeks, I've been watching them to sort of examine what people are doing. And it's funny all the nuances that people have. So one of my favorite friends that's on YouTube is Jammereel. And I think it's Large Family Cooking or something like that. I'm probably messing that up. But she basically has, I think she has 10, 11, she has a lot of kids. And so she makes these like mega meals, right? On, and she makes these videos and like, how do you, like she canned, I don't even know how many apples the other day. I was like, it was like, I was just like, I can't even watch this anymore. There's so many. Or no, corn. She canned corn. And, but she does all these little nuances on her YouTube videos that I've never noticed until I started. Like, she's like, hey, Mega Mom here. It's always like the same thing, even though she's, that's not her name or anything like that. And she does these little clips and she does, you know, link here. It's very orchestrated, even though it feels very like down, like when you watch her, you're just like, oh, she's my best friend. And we're like cooking in the kitchen together. But like when you watch it from a strategic point of view, I'm like, oh, if she's doing this, she's doing that, which is amazing. Like, good for her. So I wonder how much of that, like in general for YouTubers, is really thought out versus.
You'd be surprised. So I actually hired this consultant right now who's going through my channel. We're split testing thumbnail styles. There's a lot to it once you kind of get under the hood.
Yeah. Which I would say not to discourage anyone from getting started. I mean, like everybody got started just by making videos. And as you go along, you start tweaking, just like you just changed your pointing to the specific thumbnail.
Right.
You weren't doing that before. Didn't stop you from hitting 100,000 subscribers. So.
Correct. Correct. And yeah, you don't need to do all these things. But just like once you become a student of it, there's all these little nuances. It's actually crazy. Just after talking to this consultant, like what like the really big YouTubers are doing is pretty nuts. And there's all these like little rules and stuff, you know, that we cover in the class. And there's not enough time in this episode to cover.
Yeah. But I think that's the important thing. The important thing is to get started. And then that's the cool thing about YouTube is that you get started and you can make all these changes as you go. You don't have to start knowing how to do any of this. And you also have to find like your style and what works for you. Because even in the big mega YouTubers, right, they all have different ways of doing things. They're not all doing the exact same thing. So you've got to figure out what works for your audience. So let's talk a little bit more about driving people to your course.
Yeah. So it really is as simple as just in the middle of the video, after you give like one of your best tips, in my case, I teach.
Yes.
I go, hey, if you like this lesson or what I just said, there's a lot more in my free 6-day mini course. Just click on the link below and sign up. There's a big difference. I wasn't doing that before.
Okay.
I wasn't doing that in the middle of the video. I was just doing it at the end of the video and in the link. And that made a huge difference. And then the other thing that I did, which made a big difference, which I started doing maybe, I don't know, 6 months ago, is I put that link in the first comment and then I pin the comment to the top, because on mobile, it's not the description that shows up beneath the video.
Yes, it's actually the comment. First comment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that made a difference.
So you're probably not tracking this.
I am not. Well, actually, I'm tracking all email subs.
No. You're not tracking this that I'm going to ask you.
Oh, okay.
But now I'm just making your list longer of things you need to change on YouTube. So my theory is that people who take your mini course from YouTube are quicker to sign up for your course than people who sign up for your mini course through just finding your blog. Here's my theory.
Absolutely.
Because we talk about this all the time, and I see this. We have people that join our webinars every webinar, for 2 years before they sign up. You have the same thing with profitable online store where you're like, this person has been to every webinar for 4 years. And then after 4 years, they finally bought the course. But a lot of that, I think, has to do with one, like their situation, right? Like maybe they don't have the money or whatever. But a lot of it is like, do they like you? Do they trust you? Do they feel like they know you? Do they feel like they're going to get the valuable information? But with YouTube, you've like skipped over all these steps, right? Because when they are on your blog, they're reading. But YouTube, they're seeing your personality more. They're getting a little bit more of who you are, your method of teaching, right? Because you're teaching on video in your YouTube videos. So I would think that people that come over from YouTube are way more likely to purchase earlier than people who purchase from the blog.
I mean, I discovered this like over 5 years ago. Before, my mini course was all text.
Yeah. Yes, I remember this. Yeah.
And then as soon as I converted that over to video, including the text, then it started doing way better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So video is important, I think, if you're selling a high ticket item.
Yeah. I think even if it's not necessarily a high ticket item, you know, a YouTube channel can do wonders for getting it out there.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And I think we had this talk in a prior episode about how just SEO is just making everything, all written content, kind of bland.
Yes.
And so YouTube is a great way to just be able to do whatever the hell you want,
yeah,
so to speak.
So I think if you have a product that you're selling, and I think it could be physical, digital, course, membership, a YouTube channel is a great way to make money because you're going to drive, it's a lead generator, right? So you're going to drive people to your course. And for those that don't buy right away, there's still opportunities to use those affiliate links, just like you would do in your whole cycle of getting people on your email list. So it's basically just taking that and moving it over to a different platform.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's just so many other benefits too of just being on camera and being consistent with one thing. Like people see you all the time.
Yeah.
And YouTube is just great at proliferating your content.
Okay, let's talk about another way you've made money on YouTube.
Yes, I don't do this one as much, mm-hmm, but I'm probably going to start now since there's some clout, but doing sponsored content.
Yes.
Or just having sponsors pay you, kind of like a podcast sponsorship, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
So those are two different things. Yeah, yeah. So those are totally different.
Yeah. Okay, let's just talk about the sponsored content since I'm already done that.
Yeah.
This is just basically when a company pays you to create a video.
Now, this is just like sponsored content on a blog. And if you have a website as well as a YouTube channel, or you're thinking about starting, this all can be wrapped into a big package. So that it doesn't necessarily have to be one or the other, but you can also just do it on YouTube. You don't necessarily even have to have a content producing website. Your website could be your home base, and you could just be focusing on YouTube and make money from sponsorships. It used to be they kind of had to be tied a little bit more together. Now that's not the case at all. You can just totally do sponsored content on YouTube.
Yeah, absolutely. What's funny is sponsored content, like if you were going to make that video anyway, then that's just gravy.
Yes.
Like if you're already going to make a video about some sort of company, just reach out to them and say, hey, you know, I do sponsored content. I love your product. And I was, you know, would you like to pay for a video or something where I just do like a full review and talk about your audience?
So I know with like on a website or even on social media, there are a lot of rules around being paid to create content. Does YouTube have their own set of rules, or how does that work?
There's just one button that you click that just says paid promotion. That's it.
Okay.
And it actually doesn't affect your video reach.
Do you say anything in your video? Like, hey, this is a video for BigCommerce or, you know, Shopify or whoever you're doing.
I did do that, but I've just noticed that some people don't say anything because it automatically flashes at the top paid promotion.
Okay.
As soon as you watch the video. I actually don't think you need to say it now because it's like so prominent.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know Instagram, you can like tag a partnership. So everyone's going to ask this. How do you know what to charge?
Yes. This is a difficult question because just like the ads, right? We were talking about earlier with AdSense.
Right.
Like mine pays out 40x more. You can't really follow any guidelines online. So the way I determined my dollar value was just kind of based on what I was charging people for the podcast, which actually ended up being too low after I compared with other friends. I think the best way to figure it out actually is just to talk to other people who are doing it and then figure out what like the value is. Here's generally the way I think about it. Like if it's a SaaS company where they're going to get recurring revenue for a signup, you can charge them a lot more because the lifetime value of a customer is a lot more.
Right.
For one-offs, they're probably not going to be willing to pay as much.
Yeah.
And so I don't actually base it on that as well. I just generally promote companies that I like. So as long as I really like the company, as long as we can come to some sort of agreement, I'm actually okay with it.
Do you have a click to, do you use a click? Like, how does it work for you? Because you have in your typical videos a link to sign up for your mini course, you're doing in slides, things like that. How does it work when it's a sponsored piece of content? Are you, is the call to action, go to their website, sign up? I mean, what are you doing for that?
That's all in the negotiation. So The way I negotiated my last one was I actually used my affiliate link.
I was going to ask, can you double dip?
You can double dip, but you have to just tell them that you're
right. Yeah, you can't do that without.
Yeah. I mean, in most cases, people just want the mind share, right? If you spend like 12 minutes on video talking about a product, you know, and you give like an honest review of something, then people will probably just go over and want to sign up.
You know, I know with YouTube, some of your videos go crazy and other videos get an average amount of views.
Yeah.
Like, is there an expectation with the company? I mean, the other thing is, like, they probably find you from a video that went viral or got a lot of views, right? But maybe that video is, like, in the top 5% and then all your other videos are this. So, like, how is there an expectation for views or anything like that?
Yeah, usually I just look at how the videos have done lately. And then I say I can guarantee you at least 5,000 views over, you know, X number of amount of time.
And then you're like calling every relative you've ever had. Watch this video. Watch this video.
it hasn't worked. It's worked out. No one's really complained. And, you know, if it's like a major dud for some strange reason, then, you know, I can make it right on by doing something else.
Yeah. So that's one way with the sponsored content. The other way, which you brought up earlier, was to include their ads in your video, which I would assume would be more similar to like a podcast advertisement.
Correct. This is where you, in the middle of the video, go, hey, I just want to take a moment to talk about this sponsor and whatever. I've actually been reluctant to do that just yet because it's kind of disruptive. In podcast land, for some reason, it feels okay because you're already listening for like an hour.
Yeah.
But... And I guess it's weird because I guess YouTube already does this, right? You're interrupting people with ads and whatnot. For some reason, though, to me, and I know a lot of YouTubers do this. I think I just need to get over it.
Yeah.
But you're interrupting your own content with this ad.
But yet, someone else is interrupting your own content with an ad.
But when YouTube does it, it seems okay because everyone's like, oh, yeah, YouTube does that anyway.
Yeah.
Right? I need to get over it, and I'm sure like it's very lucrative. After talking to some of these other YouTubers, they're like, "Oh yeah, you can insert like two slots in like a 10 to 12 minute video, and you can charge a lot of money for that. Basically, you can charge what YouTube is charging for a video, but then double it because you keep all the revenue."
Well, that's what I was wondering. Are you charging it based on you can see like what each ad makes on your videos?
Yes.
So you could say, okay, this ad, we'll just make easy numbers. This ad makes $100.
Right.
You know, so then I'm going to charge this advertiser $200.
Correct.
Okay. It's interesting because I agree with you. I don't see a lot of people doing those ads on YouTube. And maybe the people I follow just aren't in the same niche too. That could be it. But in podcast, it doesn't ever bother me. Like, I listen to Shailene all the time, right? And she does a lot of, like, ads where it's just her talking about, you know, this
vitamin. She does a great job with it, though.
Like, yes, it's so, like, I'm listening to her and I'm literally, like, driving. I want to pull over and immediately order whatever she's talked about because, dang it, it works. You know, like, look how peppy she is. I need that same vitamin or whatever she talks about.
I really have to copy the way she does it because she just... It's almost like in context. She purposely merges it in a seamless way.
There have been times where it's taken me probably 30 seconds into her talking that I'm like, oh, this is an advert. Like, she's in an ad. Because she talks, I think part of it is she talks a lot about like her daily routine and her habits. And so a lot of the companies that it seems like a lot of companies that advertise with her are in that same world, like vitamins or teas or things like that. So it does feel very organic. And it, like, I don't know, I probably have the wool pulled over my eyes. Shailene's probably a major shark. No, I'm just kidding. But like, I feel like she uses all this stuff, right? Like, she takes these gummies. She drinks this tea. It just feels so believable. And she seems like a genuine person. So
she doesn't promote anything she doesn't use.
Yeah, right? Like you. She seems very much like you.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like, well, I like this about her. So why wouldn't I want to try... Yeah, I literally probably have 7 tabs on my phone open right now from like being at a light and frantically trying to type the URL in so that when I get home, I can look about it, look more up about it.
Her stuff works for me too, but then occasionally she'll insert something like, oh yeah, this is for females. I'm like, oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, I've noticed that.
Yeah.
You're like ready to buy. You're like, why is everything on the page turquoise and pink? Okay, so you can also get sponsorships throughout the video. Is there any other ways you can make money on YouTube?
I mean, you can do, I was going to say OnlyFans, but that's not what it's called. Patreon.
Those are not the same.
I know. For some reason, I like in my mind, I know they're not the same at all.
Yes,
but
yes.
For some reason, they seem a little equivalent to me.
Well, I don't think OnlyFans is on YouTube. So.
It isn't. But it's the same sort of stuff. Like you're paying for extra content.
Okay. So I've seen a lot of people do this.
Yeah.
I can't see you doing it because you have a course, right? That's going to cannibalize.
Patreon.
Yeah.
Actually, there's one more monetization thing we should talk about too. But anyway, yeah, Patreon's basically like if you want to provide like a membership site where you provide additional content for a fee, mm-hmm. like Shailene does this, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of YouTubers who do this because when you're public on YouTube, there's certain things that you can't say or talk about.
Right.
Or you might get a strike.
Yeah.
Right. Or you might get taken down. But if you have a private community, it can be like an unfiltered version of your videos and people are willing to pay like $5 a month for that.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is you think, oh, $5 a month, which is an easy price point for people to sign up. But if you have 1,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's $5,000 a month, just recurring revenue. That's a lot of money.
Right. I guess the only downside is you have to create extra content or provide extra value.
Yeah.
But actually, an easy way that people do it is they record like this long session of them recording something unfiltered. And mm-hmm. then they just cut out the snippet that's okay for YouTube. And they say, if you want access to the full unfiltered version of this.
Okay.
So in that way, you can kind of get away with, you know, charging extra for the unfiltered version.
Interesting. And is Patreon, like, is that the platform?
That's a platform that everyone uses because it's easy, really. I mean, they actually take quite a big cut.
So I was going to say, I bet they take a chunk.
They take a, I don't know what the exact number is off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure that I wouldn't use it.
Yeah.
Just based on the fees. Like you can just have a, but they make it really convenient though.
Yeah.
But it's essentially like a membership site.
But the thing that for you and anybody who has either a membership site or a course is that, you know, Patreon could cannibalize that because you need people, you want people, you're giving people some of the information, right? Some of the stuff you talk about on YouTube, you cover in your course, but in your course, you cover it way further in depth. You're available to answer questions for people, all those sorts of things. And so to me, that's your Patreon community, right? Is getting people in the course.
Yeah. You know, it just depends on how you're running things. Like I run an expensive class, but not everyone, you know, can afford it.
Right.
So perhaps Patreon could be like that intermediate ground where you're giving value to someone who can't afford the full class but still wants some added value.
So for $5 a month, y'all can watch Steve embroider hankies and pack boxes for 1 hour a month.
I mean, here's actually how I'm approaching that since we're talking about it. You know those workshops that I give?
Mm-hmm.
I have 4 different versions of it now.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about just selling those for $99 on my site.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just the recordings of the prior ones. And then, you know, they can just put that money towards the course if they want to take it.
That's
so
good
it's
idea.
Just like a little stepping stone, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Last way to make money.
Last one, there's, I can't remember the term for it. It's like a super thank you or it's like a tip jar.
Yes.
So basically now, like let's say you're broadcasting live or it can actually be in the middle of a video. People can just tip you money by just clicking this button.
I think that's the most absurd idea ever.
It works.
Yes, I know. Yes. I had a friend, actually, a good friend of mine, who he had this idea like 10 years ago. And he's like, I want to start like a virtual tip jar. And he was thinking it would be more for like musicians who put their music online, things like that. And I was, I mean, and this guy's had a lot of success. I was like, well, if you think that's going to work, I was like, nobody's going to tip somebody. Like, what do I know?
Okay, I've watched these lives with people tipping like $5, $10, even like $100.
Yeah.
And then what the person who's live, all they do is they shout out that person's name.
So I have, you know, a kid that's on TikTok, and they do something. You can give people stuff on TikTok, right? Very similar. And people give her stuff. And I'm like, what are you doing? She's making a peanut butter sandwich. Like, this is not entertaining. This isn't, you're not, it's not valuable. Like, I love her, but this is not valuable. Yeah, I think people do it for the shout out, personally.
That is exactly what it is. And,
yeah,
you know, it's an easy way to get someone's attention, right? Because if they tipped you like $20, you'll probably remember that person.
Well, it was like, I think, you were with me. We went to that dueling piano bar a couple weeks ago in Orlando. And in order to get them to play, you know, to kind of ensure your song gets played, you Venmo'd them with the name of the song, right? It's like, you know, it's just a way to get their attention as opposed to like just putting the little song request in. It's like the old days when you put the song request in with a $20 bill.
Here's another idea, which I'm not sure I would do, but let's say you're giving a live presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And then in order to make sure your question gets answered, you tip. It's kind of like the piano dueling piano bar thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that's our next webinar idea.
I don't want to do that, but
I can't hear you, Matthew. Put a little money in the tip jar.
See this button right there?
Yeah. I'm sorry, what? I can't hear you.
Your mic must be, or, you know, it's getting garbled.
I'm going to need you to.
I can't hear you. It's a text chat. It's a text chat.
That's right. I'm going to need you to type that with some dollar bills. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I get it. It's kind of like those, it reminds me of those things you can pay for, like a celebrity to wish somebody a happy birthday. You know, right. You can pay like whatever, a cameo, right? You can pay him like $500 and, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger will sing happy birthday to your kid or whatever. Like, I get it, but I also feel like, especially in the webinar space, like the whole point of the webinar is to give something to people, right? And so there's obviously like, we've tried charging on the back end, right? If you want access to the recordings, things like that. But that actually, there's a cost to that, right? There's a cost to hosting those things. There's a cost to like setting it up. So it's not like it's free and we're just completely profiting off things. There is like time and effort and money involved in that. But, you know, just to answer a question, I think that's a little, I don't know. That's my opinion.
I wouldn't. I just thought about this because you were talking about dueling piano bars.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I think it's... If I was a different person, I would do it. It's not for me.
Are you talking about like OnlyFans? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'll wear one sock or two. You decide. No, I just think that it's not for me, but I don't necessarily think it's a terrible idea depending on, especially let's just take like, what's his name? Logan Paul, right? He's like the massive like streamer. Like he's got 10,000 questions if he's streaming live, right? Like there's just the amount of, it's like, so that doesn't seem like a bad idea. Like I wouldn't, because if I was him, I mean, I don't want to be him, but I would have trouble knowing who to talk to, where to look, you know, and obviously he's got people helping him. He's not doing this on his own. But I do think at some point it does make sense to, or just like Amy Porterfield did a webinar where she had people pay to get like a private Q&A with her. There were still a lot of people on the private Q&A, but it kind of ensured you got your question answered by paying.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think it's a bad idea. It just kind of feels a little weird when you're like clicking a button.
That's correct. And plus she already charged to get into that, right? $100. Yeah. So
well, she charged for the webinar and then she upselled to the private Q&A.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, she's making money.
It's working. Whatever she's doing is working. I just don't necessarily think that I don't think I would do that. But the Patreon part, like a smaller scale version of that, like a behind the scenes, I can see that. You just have to be willing to commit to the extra content, which is what I have problems doing.
Yeah, I've thought about joining Shailene's because I just find her so fascinating.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to hear her a little more unfiltered. I feel like she's already pretty unfiltered. So I'm like, you're probably really fun.
Well, there's stuff Patreon that she can't even legally talk about,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
That she can talk about on Patreon. So.
Yeah. So I do definitely like that idea. I don't know if it makes sense if your real goal in all of this is to get more people in your course.
Yes, that's correct.
So at the end of the day, I think that's something important when you're thinking about monetizing your YouTube channel or any channel that you have, is what is your end goal for your business? Is it to just make money on ads? Is it to drive people to a product? Is it to drive people to a service? Is it to drive people to your course? And so whatever advertising methods you pick, they have to be in line with your end goal.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.